From TSN Radio 690 in Montreal, Sean Campbell joins us again. Sean, how are you, my man?
Good, Jay, Robin. Look, you were talking about cursing earlier. Let me tell you, in that span, I have hosted every single post-game show for the Montreal Canadiens. So I know a thing or two about cursing.
Yes, you do.
We look at Ray Ferraro was on earlier, and he's like, yeah, the Habs are getting a lot of shots, but there are a lot of perimeter shots. Their offense, I was counting it, in those 22 games, they've scored more than two goals, a grand total of four times. More than two. It's hard to win if you're only scoring two. And I know that they don't have Carey Price, but what's gone wrong offensively for this club in the last 2 months?
Well, the well has dried up because when they were on a tear to start the first month and a half of the season, they were getting that complimentary scoring. And everybody was talking about how perfect a world was that David Desharnais was a third-line center, and he was still producing. He was getting goals from Dale Weiss and Thomas Fleischmann. Well, they have dried up. The fourth line, Torrey Mitchell, was scoring goals. Brian Flynn was scoring goals. Smith Pelly even was scoring goals. And that has dried up as well. There is nothing past the top line for the Montreal Canadiens. Oh, wait, the top line as well. Now, Pacioretty has steadily gotten towards his 19 goals on the season. But Thomas Plekanec just absolutely dried up. And to an individual, it was really amazing to see how each Canadian was struggling to score. Thomas Plekanec has been so consistent in scoring 20 goals a year throughout his career. He is just that steady NHL player that you know you can count on year in and year out. And maybe he'll hit 20 this year. Right now it seems unlikely. But it just seemed everybody dried up at the same time. And in that period, they also lost Brendan Gallagher, who was their spark plug. So it just seemed that the power play stopped working. Individuals stopped scoring. There was no complementary offense. It just really all went away at once.
Yeah, Sean, you're right on the money. Carey Price is the big name and the big story in Montreal, but like you said, I look back, if you go game 27 when the wheels started to come off until now, in those games, one goal nine times.
Yeah.
Shutout, I'm seeing once.
One.
You need more than Carey Price to win your share of games if you're only going to score a goal a game.
Yeah, they need the offense, and you know, I think it's valid to say it's not the goaltending, but I think that there is something to not having Carey Price and not having Carey Price in the locker room. He is a huge leader. He's a huge voice with the group. But there's also something about being in these games that the Canadians are, because, you know, I kind of believe Michel Therrien last night when he went out and said you can't criticize the effort from these guys. Because you know what? I'm watching these games. These guys, for the most part, every night, almost all the guys are putting a real solid effort forward. But sometimes that's just not good enough. You can't have games where you try well and you still get 0 points. But for the Canadians, not having Carey Price in a 2-2 hockey game or a 1-1 hockey game, it really kind of changes the aspect of the other team. Because I think about last night's game against the Boston Bruins. It's 2-1. And the Boston Bruins weren't getting as many chances as the Canadiens, but they knew they were shooting on Mike Condon, and they knew that any one of their next shots could have went in, and it did it to make it 3-1. It killed the game. It was done after that. And what Carey Price does, he demoralizes the opposition, where the Canadiens can take advantage of that, where guys shoot 40 shots on him, and they're like, there's no way we're going to score on Carey Price tonight. Mike Condon can make 40 saves in a row, but the opposition still believes they're going to score on their next shot. There's really that difference, and you could see it in the opposition when they play the Canadiens.
Sean Campbell from TSN in Montreal joins us. Sean, there's been talk, you know, Ray said, and he's not a big believer in it, that, you know what, maybe now's the time they have to make a significant move to change things up in Montreal. Because while it's true when Carey Price comes back, he can demoralize the team, but it might be too late. Because last I saw, there's no update of Carey Price coming back in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, the last update for Carey Price was he's going to return after the All-Star break. Now, they didn't say the first game after the All-Star break. They just said after the All-Star break. And if you look at any of the images of Carey Price working on the ice, he's not in pads. He hasn't taken a shot in 2 months. That he's going to be ready in 2 weeks' time, I think that is very far-fetched for the Montreal Canadiens. And they're really going to take their time because they know how valuable he is. But the time to make a move or to make a trade or to do something significant for the Canadiens was in October, was in November, it was in December. It has been in January. They've needed help offensively even when they were scoring goals back then. That was always a concern. The whole season, Galchenyuk has been playing with nobody. Like, nobody. People worry about his numbers. Well, he's been playing with Lars Eller, who's a career 30-point guy, and then he's been playing with AHL players and Alex Semin for a stretch of 11 games. Like, no one of significance have gotten a chance to play with Alex Galchenyuk. They need help in their top six. It's very evident. And we were talking today on Off the Cuff with Chris Nyland. We had former general manager Serge Savard on the program talking about making deals. He goes, you cannot make a deal when there's a gun to your head. You're just not going to win that deal. It's just not going to happen. And that's where the Canadiens are. They are up against the wall. And whatever deal they make next is not going to be a good one.
Yeah, that's the proverbial rock in the hard place, isn't it? Because if you don't do something, you look at the standings and you can wait too long. And when everybody knows you need to do something, they're throwing you boat anchors, not life preservers.
It's an incredible situation where the Canadiens are, because all the pressure of what about the future of Michel Therrien, and will he be able to keep his job? Well, one, he doesn't have Carey Price, and two, his general manager hasn't made a move for him. The two moves he tried to make to help the offense was, one, Alex Semin, we know how that turned out, and, well, the other one was Zach Cassian, and you guys know all about that. He got a goal and assist last night when he got his opportunity. And those are two moves that he made to help the Montreal Canadiens offense. And he needs to solve that problem, his problem that he made.
Alex Galchenyuk is a player that, you know, people have been waiting for more from him, Sean. And, you know, sometimes we see it. He's shown glimpses of it. Other games, not so much. You've seen him play center. You've seen him play wing. Is there one he's clearly better at?
I think he's better at wing. And I think there's a thing here, because a lot of people don't realize his last year junior, he was a winger. And then he got hurt. So when they drafted him, yes, he grew up playing center. But he hadn't played center in almost a year. And then he came to the NHL, and he didn't play center for 3 years. He's almost 5 years now, 4.5 years removed from playing the position of center. And they said at training camp, he's going to play center, and he's playing center. He's been pushed to the wing the last few games, and I think that's more of a mode of desperation, because they don't have the shooter, the sniper, past Max Pacioretty. And I think some people understand that makes sense, and they say we need to protect him defensively. He has holes in his game defensively, but a lot of offensive centermen do, and you roll with it. He can play center. He has that ability, and he can play wing. I just think whatever move they make next to complement this team will probably really push Galchenyuk in that position. If they go out and sign a UFA in the summer, that's a big centerman. Well, he might be a winger then. If they go and trade for a winger, then he might be a centerman. Their next move will probably dictate what position he plays the rest of his career.
Now, you mentioned a free agent. Not a lot of them out there. Trust me, we've been looking at the market for a while. So if they're going to do it via trade, who do you think is a realistic trade option out of Montreal?
Leaving Montreal?
Yes, could bring you back something of value that teams would have interest in.
Nathan Beaulieu. That's the defenseman. He is, you know, there's been flashes where you've seen nights where he's playing like a guy that can one day be a top pairing. He's young. He's got great offensive game. He's a beautiful skater. He's a physical guy as well. A lot of people had Beaulieu and Tenorti kind of battling out and saying, Beaulieu's pure offense, Tenorti's pure defense. Not the case. Almost to one of the reasons Beaulieu plays and Tenorti never got his chance in Montreal was because Nathan Beaulieu is able to be a physical and robust defenseman, and he can carry the puck, and he can have an offensive game. He kind of has the tools to be an all-round defenseman where you could slide him into a top-four role easily, and he's grown into a top-four role with the Canadiens. Some nights he's in a 5-6, but that's on nights after he struggles because he's a young guy. But for another team wanting something, I think that Nathan Beaulieu is that guy, because a lot of other pieces that the Canadiens have, I don't know if anybody wants them. like, you know, I think people will ask about Alex Galchenyuk, but I don't think the Canadiens are ready to part ways with him because they feel that he's just about to break through. I don't know how much longer they can wait, but they're still waiting on him.
Sean, let's play this game. If the ask is Nathan Beaulieu and the team is the Edmonton Oilers, what in your mind would Marc Bergevin have to get back to be willing to talk about that?
He'd want probably Jordan Eberle. There'd have to be other pieces coming towards Edmonton, but that's probably what he'd be looking at. He'd be looking at someone that can produce goals and points. I think that's what it is. I don't know what else in the top six. You know, maybe a Nail Yakupov, but then you're talking about you'd have to add draft picks and prospects to that deal. And I don't know if that's something that I don't think that's anything Edmonton would be interested in. I think they'd be interested in Nathan Beaulieu. I think Nathan Beaulieu would fit very nicely in the Edmonton Oilers' plans defensively. I think that that's a long conversation between two general managers that need to happen to iron out the details of the differences of the two players.
Yeah, the reason I don't think he fits is, number one, he's a left-hand shot. The Oilers have an abundance of that. They need right-shot D-men.
Well, they could have had Tenorti.
Yeah,
he's a lefty too.
Yeah, he's a lefty.
You can have Greg Pattern if you want.
No, the Oilers need proven top four defensemen, and they need a right shot. Now, I don't even want to bring up the name because I'm sure everybody will text in. Well, they had Jeff Petrie. Well, that's not going to happen. They're not going to get him out of Montreal.
Okay, then Tom Gilbert.
Yeah, well, no, thank you. No, thank you.
You know what? Tom Gilbert, he's a pending UFA, but for what he's done this year, he has probably been one of the more consistent defensemen for the Montreal. He's out injured right now and about to come back. But Michel Therrien, this team really likes what he's provided this year. And he's completely gotten rid of his offensive game. He just is very responsible in his own zone, which is weird.
Now, why haven't they, have they tried Galchenyuk with Pacioretty for an extended period of time?
They did it for two games, two and a half games, and it was ugly. It was atrocious. It was like, everyone's like, okay, it was a bad game. Let them have another. After the second game, I mean, like I said, I'm hosting the post. There was not one person. They were like, they cannot play together. It is brutal. The one thing I will say is that they haven't tried. They put Pacioretty and Galchenyuk there, but not with Gallagher. And they haven't tried Galchenyuk and Gallagher together. Galchenyuk is a guy that just wants the puck all the time. And whatever he does, he needs to get the puck towards the net. But when he does that and he's playing with Pacioretty is a perimeter player. It really doesn't work. It's obvious when you watch him, it doesn't work. But if you throw Gallagher in the mix, it's actually something that may work. And Galchenyuk and Gallagher have played together really early in their careers. They actually started their careers with Brandon Prust as the centerman. I truly think that Gallagher and Galchenyuk is the next move Michel Therrien can make if there's no trades coming his way.
Sean, it'd be interesting to see if the Habs can turn it around, because if they can't turn it around and Carey Price doesn't come back right after the All-Star break, they could find themselves too far out of the playoffs.
And then they'll be selling, which would be, I don't know, just a whole different realm of things that we would have to talk about in Montreal, something that I guess you guys know all about.
The orders very rarely have a lot of players of value that they've sold, like Petrie excluding, not many other ones that have been big-time acquisitions for other teams at the deadline, at least in the last few years anyway.
He's really, Jeff Petrie is the one thing that's standing out for Marc Bergevin right now, because everybody's just clocking back at all his last moves, and it just hasn't looked good. Marc Bergevin's had a really bad season as a general manager for the Montreal Canadiens.
Sean, thanks for your time. Appreciate the update.
Have a great one.